that's been talked about is, you know, patient portal engagement and EHRs. And what I'm going to be talking about is about one of the things someone brought up just now is what are people doing with just general searches for help on the internet? And is that maybe possibly a reason why a lot of people aren't going to the portals? It's just because they're looking up health issues on Google, or, you know, Dr. Google, as we call them now. And one specific thing we're going to be talking about today is these new health domains that are coming out. And I'll give you a, kind of an overview of what they are and some of the advocacy efforts we're doing to try to change the process of how they're being awarded within an international institution called ICANN. As far as conflicts, I do have one. I was funded by the World Health Organization to go to Geneva to do an expert consultation with them on this particular issue, so my opinions may be more biased towards the multilaterals, but it's not a pharma COI, it's a WHO COI. So again, the question was asked, how many people are using the internet to look up information? A lot. We have about 2.7 billion people on the internet now. 72% of them, approximately, look for health information online. And of those people that are looking for health information online, approximately like 50% of those are self-diagnosing as well. And then another U.S. FDA survey found that some of those people were actually, another survey showed that some of those people were actually engaging in purchasing medicines online, which has its own risks associated with that. So again, we're using the internet for all types of health information and health behavior and decision-making processes, and that hasn't really been evaluated as much as it should. I'm not going to go into too much about the internet governance structure, but suffice to say there's not much governance over the internet. If you know anything about how the internet was structured, it's kind of an organic creation. And it's a network of networks. So there's all these different networks that proliferate, and we don't have necessarily any type of global regulation of the internet. This is something that the UN is attempting to resolve in something called the World Summit on Information Society and the Internet Governance Forum. So we're trying to figure out how do we govern the internet in a way that's appropriate and, you know, meets social needs and also protects consumers. So what is a health generic top-level domain, and why is it important? I'm going to take off my jacket real quick. Have you guys has anyone heard of this, the health GTLD? Okay, seeing a few shaking heads, that's good. So this is what it would look like. So you guys all know about .com, .biz, maybe you never heard of .arrow, but there's a .arrow. Well, there's going to be a .health pretty soon. And it's going to function the same way as any top-level domain would allow you to do. So I can apply for a name before that extension. So I could put timmackey.health. It wouldn't be very commercially viable. But nevertheless, you can purchase any name before that. And the idea, of course, that ICANN's trying to do, and we'll talk a little bit about that structure, is to kind of separate out the internet so users can determine, based upon the extension, what the content is about. So again, ICANN is this large corporation, which was actually created by the U.S. government originally. It's a California corporation still, but what it does is it manages the naming and assigning of the names and extensions and URLs of all globally. So basically, they control the naming of the internet, and with that comes a lot of different issues in relation to governance. So again, you're familiar with some of the other top-level names we have, .com, .biz, .edu, but you should note that they're very different in structure. .edus are supposed to be educational institutions, right? A .com is for anything. So again, we're already separating out content on the internet, and what ICANN is doing is actually expanding the process from the original 22 domains that we have now, approximately, to thousands of domains. So you're going to see thousands of domains coming out in all different types of issues. So one of the things that ICANN is focusing on is certain areas of what domains would come out. So there's different language domains, so you can type into like Chinese characters or things like that, and that will be an actual domain extension now. There's things for brands, so you're going to see a lot of brand names, like .McDonald's is going to be out there too. And you're going to see a lot of geographic representations, like .Amazon, which is a huge contentious GTLD out there because people from you know, the Amazonian want the .Amazon, but there's another big corporate actor that wants the .Amazon too. So there's a lot of contentious issues associated with this. Some of them are already actually live. So that's another thing. They're starting to be rolled out in this full process that ICANN's been working on for about 5 years. Again, examples, geographic.paris.africa, general terms, .law, .money, .science, specific entities, corporations, .apple.bbc.mcdonald's. So those are just some examples. The bottom line, though, is ICANN opened up this round and allowed anyone to apply for any name they wanted to. And that's why we see a proliferation of approximately, what we're going to see is probably about 500 to 1,000 different domain names. Within this context, within this expansion of the Internet, which is what it is, are a bunch of domains that are associated with health issues. So that includes .med, .doctor, .dds, .health, .healthcare. And all these things are, of course, associated with .health or a health-related issue. And then this one here is also the Chinese character and the Japanese character for health on the right. And, you know, because people are looking for so much information online, it's obviously a business opportunity to differentiate your content and your service offerings on the Internet by having a health-related domain. One of the problems I just want to mention is we don't even have a very good idea of what the quality of content of health-related websites are. So, you know, you have a proliferation of health websites, and the way Google prioritizes search is not based on the quality of the health information, but the popularity of the site. So a lot of times we're not even sure exactly what content is being represented on those sites. So one of the things that we're concerned about from a public health perspective is what are these new domain names going to look like and who are going to own them? So for an example, tobacco.health, instead of being owned by ACS, American Cancer Society, or some other civil society organization, could be owned by a tobacco company. Or a vaccination.health could be owned by anti-vaccination people. Diet.health is one of the big ones I've heard of. People are basically waiting and lining up to get this one because it could be anything. It could be a big multinational with, diet-free types of stuff, you know, sugary drinks, things like that. And then other domains that obviously probably aren't even, you know, appropriate, like a miraclecure.com. Probably not something we should have on the Internet. And this issue is not new. So in 2000, the World Health Organization actually applied to be the owner of the .health, and their application was actually denied. So they did see this issue coming pretty early. This was, 14 years ago, but unfortunately they weren't able to get the domain. In this next round, which ICANN opened up, and I can tell you more details about the actual formal application, WHO did not submit an application, just to let you know. And four companies basically submitted applications. They're all for-profit companies, and we'll go into that as well. And that process has driven a lot of, it has been under a lot of international scrutiny by organizations like the IMIA, France, Mali, WHO, Save the Children, and other NGOs that have expressed concerns about the applicants for these domains. And I'll talk a little bit about them in the subsequent slides. Suffice to say, WHO sent a letter. These are some of the things that they highlighted. Some of the things were sale of unapproved medical products online, regulation of commercial practices targeted against consumers. So this is a consumer empowerment issue. Of course, quality and health information, confidentiality, and creating a trusted environment. So I think this letter actually highlights a lot of the issues that could arise with the improper use of a health domain. I won't get into this, but suffice to say, when you apply to ICANN for a .health or any other domain, there's an independent objector, kind of like an auditor, that you can ask to file a formal objection so that if you feel that the domain is not being awarded to someone who's going to use it for a public benefit, that person can then challenge ICANN. And that person did, but ICANN's appeal process basically struck it down. So I won't get into it too much. What happens after that appeal process ends, that domain is then sold to whoever can pay the most for it. So it goes through a bidding process. So it's not necessarily the quality of the applicant, it's the person who can pay the most money for the domain. So another thing that we're concerned about is there's no safeguards for the use of this domain. It's categorized as safeguard one here, and what that means is it just has to follow applicable law. So, if you have to follow applicable law, that could be different in every jurisdiction, and it could also, relate to things that really don't protect the consumer. It's just whatever applicable law is in that jurisdiction. And then yet some other GTLD strings, is what we call them, have very strong protections. One of them is .fail or .wtf. So they're putting robust protections for those domains, primarily for corporate brand protection. So if you're McDonald's, you don't want to have a McDonald's.wtf or McDonald's.sucks. So they're putting a lot of protections for those domains, but they're not doing it for health domains. So we've done some research here. We've had a one piece in The Lancet that really tried to highlight this issue, just to express to people what was going on, because a lot of people in the public health community actually don't know anything about this, which is not surprising. I didn't know anything about it before I started researching it about 3 years ago. And the only reason why I started researching it is because I met one of the guys that was an applicant, and he was kind of, he didn't strike me as someone that should be the steward of public health information or health information online for the future. And that's why I started this research. So after that, we did a more detailed study where we looked specifically at the applicants themselves. And the highlights of that study are basically that they're all for-profit businesses. And if you know the governance of a for-profit business, they have to bring maximum benefit to their shareholders. A lot of these companies are investor-backed, so they're VC-backed, venture capitalist-backed. So they have to bring money back really quickly. And the best business model to bring money back quickly to your investors is to sell as many domains as you can to the highest bidder. So this process doesn't, in our opinion, doesn't entail that you're going to have a lot of health quality information online in these health domain spaces. We did document review. I won't go over the methods. I could talk to you about that later on. These are some of the current, were some of the current .health applicants. There was one company called Donuts LLC, and they were basically applying for every single domain they could. 300 domains, big, you know, venture capitalist money, investor backed. And they applied for the .health, and they said basically, you know, anyone can use it any way they want. .health LLC was a very small firm and said that they had representation from the public health community, but our opinion is that if you look at those partnerships, they're actually pretty weak. And then Afilias was another large IT company. So the last piece we had, which was in Globalization and Health, that was recent, talked about, you know, we really don't understand the quality of health information online. We're not really good at this process of awarding them. There's not sufficient safeguards. So what we really need to do is just kind of stop the process and try to assess what would be the appropriate governance structure for all these health-related domains, because they're very important. This is not something that a decision now by ICANN has long-term impacts, because whoever's going to own that domain is going to have exclusive rights over it for 20 years. And then it's going to be another 20 years extension. So, you know, this decision has to be made very carefully. This is some of the data on the applicants. What happened is this was moving really quickly because what happens is as an applicant, you put up $175,000 just to put in your application, and then you pay every year, I think it's like $50,000 or something like that. I forget the exact numbers. So it's not a cheap enterprise. I mean, these guys are putting in money just to apply for it. So there's a lot of pressure on ICANN to get these domains out right away, because if you don't get awarded the domain, you're losing money every day not using it and selling it. So again, a lot of these domains that are health related have actually already been awarded. And these are some of the ones that have been awarded, the ones in bold. And a lot of them have been awarded to this company called Donuts LLC. .health was going to go to auction because all the appellate process had failed. And actually what happened recently was it was awarded through a private settlement between the three remaining applicants. So we have no idea how much it was sold for. And we don't know what their agreement was as well. So basically two applicants decided to drop it, and then one applicant prevailed, and it was probably some sort of settlement they went through, a private settlement. So again, WHO has been very active in this space, although I can tell you that they didn't submit an application, so that's limited our policy advocacy on that space. And they've had a lot of pressure from member states to not address this. That's all I'll say about that. But we were brought over there for an expert consultation. There's been a lot of different civil society actors that have sent letters directly to ICANN referencing a lot of our research and talking to ICANN and telling them that they need to stop the process. And this includes a recent letter that was sent just on the 30th of October. We've had some news media on it as well, so NPR had a story on this particular issue, although it's very hard to translate. So again, we're trying to really push the policy advocacy side of it. We went to a meeting with ICANN in October, and we, you know, basically asked them directly what they plan to do with the .health domain and the health-related domains and how they're going to protect consumers, and they basically said it's not our issue. You know, it's not ICANN's issue to make sure that there's quality information online. That's the concern of the registrar, who's going to own it. So they're basically disavowing any type of requirements to oversee it. So what can be done? Well, we're at the very end of this process. So the Dot Health has actually already been awarded to somebody. And that corporation is now in discussions with the contracting phase. So they're going to make it live pretty soon. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to tell ICANN again is that they need to freeze the contracting process. And they need better stakeholder representation from the public health community. We need to have better safeguards so that when consumers go to a Dot Health, it can be a trusted and reliable source for health information. And we need to be aware that if that doesn't happen, that the Dot Health extension is no better than anywhere else on the internet. And that's a health behavior, health education component. My personal opinion is this is a big loss of opportunity if we don't use the Dot Health as a very safe and trusted place for consumers where they know that they can go to a place where the information is peer-reviewed or it's evidence-based or something like that. Because consumers have a hard time finding this information. And if we lose this opportunity, we're going to lose it for 40 years, for you know, the rest of the time the internet is up. So it's really imperative that we do something about this. So it's been really hard to explain this concept. It's easier to read the papers, to be honest. But I encourage you to think about this new Dot Health thing, new Dot Healthcare. If you weren't aware of it, just take a look and see what's out there because it could impact the future for consumers and their consumption of health information online. So thank you. And if you have any questions, I bet I do a better job explaining this issue in Q&A. It's kind of hard to tackle. So yeah. Yes. A good website in the public health space? Well, so the Dot Health, there's no websites that are active yet.
Yeah.
So right now, if you go online and you say, I want a Dot Health, let's say, you know, I want a Dot Health, then you go into a process where you bid with other people for whatever name you want before the Dot Health. Does that make sense? So it's called the subdomain. So if I want tobacco.health, I got to get in line with everybody else. And maybe I'm a, you know, public health institution. I'd like to buy it for like, you know, maybe I can afford about $1,000 for it. But maybe PMI comes in with 10 or 15,000 or, you know, 100,000, and they can outbid you for that space.
So it's the person who's deciding. It's no longer ICANN.
It's not. It's the person who owns the Dot Health. That's why they're the gateway to all the other things. Yeah, absolutely. It's, and, you know, business model, again, is you can't blame a Dot Health LLC for putting bad content up. If they're a corporation, they need to make money. I mean, I'm not saying that that's, you know, that's the way we should govern it, but that's just how the business structure is set up. The best way to make money off these domains is sell as many as you can for the highest price, and that's how the model's set up to do. That's possible. Yeah, so I think, you know, you could say that we just need one good actor, like a Mayo Clinic or something like that, to come in and get one of the Dot Healths, and then everyone will say it's a Dot Health is a trusted space. But if someone else buys another subdomain and they're a bad actor, then you wouldn't want that, you know, reputational effect translating over. I think one of the other things that's important to note about this is it's really weird what ICANN did. I mean, Google and I believe it was Mayo Clinic as well, they had applications in for a .med, and their applications were rejected. So it's kind of backwards when you think about what the quality of health information should be. And again, the guys that have applied for this are just kind of, you know, they're investor-backed. They need to make money off of it. And, you know, the diet.health is a great example. There's people lining up for that one, $100,000, $200,000. $300,000, because there's this proliferation of information online, and it's really hard to differentiate your information from anybody else's. Most of that's related to search. So a lot of people ask me the question, who cares? Nobody uses .biz. Why would anyone use .health? Well, from my opinion is technology will evolve so that it indexes certain types of content. And the one easy way to index content is based upon a URL or a search. So a lot of these search engines are going to be targeted towards specific content now. And that intermediary technology that enables, you know, a Dot Health to be more prominent in search results is going to impact health behavior. So that's some of the things I think we're combating is you know, who cares? What is, why is it important? Nobody knows what it is because it's not live yet, but it will be live soon. And I'm guessing that the first sites that come up will not be of very good health quality. Yes. They're created partially from Department of Commerce and partially with the U.S. government's backing. I mean,
yeah, so I guess
it's the history of the Internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I've been pretty involved on this piece and this issue for a long time. So one is this, I can't talk in full detail because it would take forever, about what the Internet is. It's originating from the U.S. and part of DARPA and stuff like that. The U.S. has, at least at the multilateral level, has been one of the parties that has obstructed this issue. And that's because they have a lot of stakeholders in ICANN that are interested in it from a commercial standpoint. If you want to get into the governance stuff, it's probably a Chamber of Commerce or some other type of business-friendly organization pushing U.S. policy on this issue. Because I have friends at HHS that are interested in this, but not too much. You know, so there's not an avenue for advocacy here, especially within ICANN. Because ICANN doesn't care about public health. They really don't. And they don't have many public health stakeholders. They don't have a forum for public health people to say, hey, these issues with the Internet are very important to public health. We need to do something about it. So it's very hard. And I would say that, you know, France and Mali are countries that have been more receptive to the issue. The U.S. has not. So, and regulating the Internet is also a political issue. So you kind of get away from, you have to get away from the issue of, you know, content management and regulation and what that would look like, because that's another civil society group you have to kind of deal with as well. So it's really a complicated policy mix. I think the best way to do it is just to target the .health and say, let's just stop it and try to figure out what's going on here. Because WHO, myself, all these experts in health, you know, quality of health information, we can't figure it out in 6 months. We need like 3 years to figure out something like this. And it's evolving. So we just need to stop the process and you know, this is an important decision. And it shouldn't be pushed and made a priority just because someone wants to make money off of it. Okay? Oh, yes. Yeah. So that's a very interesting question. So one of the things we looked at in our research was, what is the criteria for how these guys that win the .health are going to assess applicants? Like, are they going to say, oh, well, you know, it's a nonprofit, it's evidence-based, you know, we should give it the domain to this guy? It has nothing to do with that. It's a total bidding system. So unlike a .com where the price is kind of regulated to a certain extent, for these new domains, it's going to be whoever can pay the most. Now, there are some, you know, there is some discussion in their applications about meeting a social need, making sure there's no really fraudulent activity going on, and, you know, abiding by all applicable law. But in reality, it's going to be whoever can pay the most for it. If someone's acting bad, maybe they'll shut the website down. But the main takeaway is it's in their sole discretion to award the domains to whoever they want. And like a miracle.cure, I'd argue that shouldn't be a domain at all. That's their discretion whether they want to release that domain or not. Okay, so if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to talk about it. It's kind of a complicated issue. It's hard to kind of explain, but I appreciate your interest in it. So thank you.